Good morning, and welcome to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb, and I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee. We're thankful that you have joined our program today. I'm thankful to be back with you, especially because I haven't been able to record over the last couple of weeks, and so it's good to be able to do that again, and I'm glad that you have decided to listen to the program. If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. We're going to be talking today about Solomon, King Solomon. We're going to see the way that he began his reign and try to learn some lessons from that that we can apply to our own lives as well. But before we get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a brief word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of it, for the privilege that we have to be able to study your word together. And we pray that you would bless our studies, that you would help us to have a good understanding of your word and help us to apply it to our lives in the proper way. We pray that you would help us to be better Christians, to be stronger, that you would forgive us when we sin. Help us to overcome the temptations in our lives. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice and everything that it means to us. It is through him that we pray. Amen. As we continue our study through the Bible, I wanted us today to look at Solomon and how he began his reign. If there is one word that we would use to maybe describe Solomon, I think all of us would agree that that word would be wisdom. He was a very wise king. And we're going to look at why he was such a wise king. It wasn't because he had gained all of that within his years of life, but it's because he was blessed by God. As Solomon began his reign, as we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this: Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, to judges, and to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tabernacle of meeting with God was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But David had brought up the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim to the place David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Now the bronze altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. Solomon and the assembly sought him there. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. As we look at Solomon, we see that he prepared himself to go before God and to pray before him. We often don't really consider what is necessary to pray to God. When we pray to him, it's often spur of the moment, just something that we think about. Well, you know, I need to pray, and nothing wrong with that necessarily. But we never really prepare ourselves for prayer. Same way with our worship, we never really prepare ourselves for worship. But we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare our hearts to be prayerful individuals. And the more we prepare ourselves, the more we're likely to speak to God when we need him. But Solomon, we see, he had it all going for him. He wasn't the oldest child of David. And normally the oldest child would be the one that would take the throne. But Solomon was chosen by God to reign in David's stead. Solomon prepared the people for everything that they were about to face. He spoke to Israel, to the captains of thousands, the hundreds, to the judges, to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. And they all went to worship God. They all went to offer these sacrifices to him. And we see that Solomon prepared himself to reign in David's place. We continue reading in verse 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And here we read of Solomon's prayer, Solomon's request. This request was not self-centered. He thought of others before himself. It was everything that we're taught that it should be. As children of God, we're taught how we need to pray to him. And so, we see this prayer. In verse 8, Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" Well, remember that in God's promise to Abraham, he promised him that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky and as many as the sand on the seashore. And we see that that came to pass. God blessed his people greatly. In Egypt, they continued to multiply, and eventually, God led them out of bondage and they continued in the wilderness. But this people was a people of great number. God blessed them for Abraham's sake. He kept the promise that he had made to Abraham. And Solomon makes reference to this in his prayer. "Let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." They were too numerable to be counted. God had blessed his people. God had kept his promise. I think that's an interesting aspect as we look at what Solomon requests. Solomon did not ask for riches. He did not ask for power or authority. But Solomon's request was one of great consideration. He prepared himself for this request. When it came time to make the request, Solomon said this, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" He asked for those things that he was lacking in. He did not have a lot of experience. He did not have a lot of years behind him. And so he asked for knowledge and wisdom. He wanted the ability to judge the people rightly. When we look at some of the kings that came before him, we think of Saul. Saul was much different than Solomon. Saul was more on that self-centered side. He considered himself before he considered the people and God. He was not a very good judge of the people. And maybe that was in Solomon's mind. Maybe he had been told stories of Saul and how he had reigned and the things that he shouldn't do. We see that David was a man after God's own heart, however. David followed God. David was a great influence on Solomon's life, and Solomon's mother also. We see she was a great influence as well. Look at the beginning of Proverbs 31. And if Proverbs was truly written by Solomon, if he is the King Lemuel of Proverbs 31, his mother prepared him to reign. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge, the ability to judge the people, an ability that not all the kings before him had had. This is a very honorable request, and God acknowledges that. 1 Kings chapter 3, we read that God was well pleased with Solomon's request. And he says in verse 11, God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. We see that Solomon was granted this wisdom. The very thing that he requested, God allowed him. And we see his wisdom followed up. If we go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, we see evidence of the wisdom that was given to him. In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, says this: Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day, after I had given birth, that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house, except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night, because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, and took my son from my side, while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son, whom I had born. Then the other woman said, No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. The first woman said, No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, The one says, This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, Bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. We go on to read a little bit more about Solomon's reign as we get into 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. The next few verses go on to detail some of the riches that he possessed. In verse 29, we read that God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and of men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. God had promised him wisdom, and he granted him that desire that he had. He granted him the very thing that he needed to judge God's people. Was Solomon perfect? No. Solomon made some mistakes. As a matter of fact, some of the mistakes that he made were very grave. One of the greatest mistakes that he made was in his choosing of so many wives. He basically had 1,000 wives, when you consider those who were wives and his concubines. 1,000 women. And they led him astray. They changed his heart. One of the things that God had promised him was long life, if he were to remain faithful. And we see that his life was no longer than any of the other kings. His reign was no longer than that of his father. But we see that even so, God had granted him the wisdom. It's believed that some of the books that we have in the Bible were written by him, maybe in his later years, and maybe that's possible. And maybe that would be a good testament to him, that even being led astray as he was, that at the end of his life, he was wise enough to see the mistakes that he had made and turn back to God. Overall, he was a good king. He had his problems, but he was a good king. The same way with us today, we can take, I think, a great lesson from Solomon. He realized his need for God, and so he requested wisdom. God led him in the way that he needed to go. He led himself astray through the influence of those around him. And that often happens to us as well. Sometimes even in our great desire to serve God, we fall. We stumble. We turn away from Him. We make mistakes. Sometimes we make mistakes that affect us for the rest of our lifetime. But we can also learn from Solomon that when we realize that we have made mistakes, we should turn back to God, realizing our need for Him. We should remain faithful throughout our lives. So don't be influenced by those around you to the point that you're led astray from God. Make sure that you're following in God's Word and His precepts, the things that He has provided for us. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I hope that we learn from this and that we ask God for wisdom, that we ask God for knowledge, and that we ask from Him the heart of a servant. Those are the things that we should desire in our lives. I hope that you'll join us next week as we study another portion of God's Word together. And I thank you once again for joining us today. And until we meet again, may God bless you.